Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic
hits. Personal beliefs and fear of litigation are among driving factors for clinicians while making decisions about cesarean sections for the first time, mothers of a new Irish study have found. Some clinicians interviewed by researchers posted the first time mothers are not as healthy as in previous years or compared to other countries, with one consultant, listen to this, claiming that the population of women giving birth in Ireland is fat, old and short. A team of researchers in Trinity College Dublin interviewed 15 midwives and 20 senior obstetricians from the three maternity units to examine the decision-making process behind cesarean sections, or C-sections as people better know them, for the first-time mothers, which have steadily risen in numbers over the last decade. Analysing and interviewing, the researchers identified a fear factor in clinicians. Decisions linked to worries about adverse outcomes for vaginal births and the risk of subsequent litigation. In other words, afraid of being sued. And senior obstetricians and registrars said they felt that that society had become more litigious. Well, that's true. And definitely one of the reasons why the rate of C-sections is going over the board is the fear of litigation. Multiple clinicians raised the idea of first-time mothers presenting at increased age at a birth and high BMI rate and described those as a factor that influences decision-making. And one midwife said they thought women were very unfit and that many first-time mothers were not young or healthy and fit or slim. They're a bit older, a lot heavier, I suppose. Our diabetes, blood pressure, all are on the rise, she said. So therefore, cesareans are on the rise too. That's according to the midwife in the study, not me, by the way. She went on to say, we are fat, old and short. That's basically the Irish population of women who are giving birth. So it is a huge influence in terms of what the cesarean section rate should be for the country. Clinicians' level of experience and confidence was also regarded as a major influence, with one midwife noting, if the obstetrician doesn't feel confident, they may just say that it's not suitable for a vaginal delivery and then proceed to a C-section. Many people now are outraged by these comments and believe that it's fat-shaming. The suggestion, I mean, the way it's worded, I suppose really is, isn't it? Because, you know, they're saying that the population of Irish women giving birth is fat, old and short. But here's the question. Are they only pointing out that pregnancy requires women to be in tip-top condition? Because it does. It requires women to be in good health. Otherwise, you may have complications. That's just a fact of life, isn't it? So are they only pointing out the obvious, which is offending people? Or could they put it another way without actually trying to offend most of the female population of Ireland? The number is 087-188-0008. I don't know if you, I mean, there are many women listening today who may have had, you know, first time baby, second time baby, went into hospital, thought you were going to have a normal vaginal birth or vaginal delivery. And unfortunately, the doctor turned around and went, ah, sorry about that. You're a bit overweight there now. We're going to have to do a C-section on you. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a doctor, so I don't know how they make that decision. You know, how the complications work out. But maybe you were in that situation and you thought, I don't want a C-section. I'm quite happy to do a vaginal birth, but hey, if you're telling me this, well, I'm going to have to. I have no choice, really. But you felt you were okay for it, but you kind of felt like, hold on a second, are they telling me I'm fat? The number's 087-188-0008. So, I'm not going to ask you if you agree that the Irish population of women having babies are fat, old and short, but do you think that this is offensive? Would you be outraged by these comments, or are they only pointing out that pregnancy requires women to be in good health? Is that fat shaming? The number is 087-188-0008. Lorna, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you doing, Lorna?
Hi, yes. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Lorna, is that fat shaming?
Yes, it is. Jesus, it is. I mean, for the love of God, anyone going in to be C-sectioned or, you know, on, you know, the duty. I mean, I don't know many thin pregnant women. To be honest, quite honest, I most definitely wasn't. I was telling the producer when she called, for the love of God, I had swollen earlobes.
Swollen earlobes.
Everything blew up, you know. It was, you know, just the way my sisters were exactly the same, you know, and given that my fourth baby, I was 23, I was perfectly healthy.
Was that 23 age or 23 stone?
Sorry, no.
I'm joking.
You know, I'm 5'10", so I was neither old, you know.
Well, you're not,
short.
Yeah, you're not short, yeah, yeah, okay.
You know, and
you're fairly tall, actually, yeah.
I was perfectly healthy when I got pregnant and had a fairly healthy pregnancy, you know.
Yeah.
And she was an emergency section for failure to progress in labour. Mm. You know, so then roll that over to 3 years later, I have my second baby again. I was 25, you know, almost 26. And again, I was a healthy weight. I hadn't shrunken, you know, I hadn't shrunk any in height.
You say you're a healthy weight, right?
Yeah.
See, now what you regard as a healthy weight and what I regard as a healthy weight is probably very different to what a clinician or an obstetrician would class as a healthy weight.
Again, going on, you know, my height. So, for example, if I'm 5'10". If I was 10 stone, I would be considered unhealthy.
Yes.
You know, I would be too.
So what under the BMI rules or whatever, what should you be? 12 and a half, 13 stone?
Around 12 stone 10.
Yeah.
Got anything less than 12 stone 10, you would be considered to, Jesus, don't lose any more weight.
And isn't it mad that if you even go a pound over that BMI, you're considered to be obese, which makes you sound like you're some sort of monster.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was even listening to, I think it was Operation Transformation, and they were telling people don't put too much focus on BMI. The more generally doctors are more concerned with the fat we carry around our stomachs, around where our main organs are,
mm-hmm.
you know, that seems to be more the focus this day and age, because they're learning all the time, you know, but so I mean, I didn't know you couldn't be induced if you'd had a C-section, and I found this out when I was having my second child. You can't go for induction, so I carried Hannah till I was 42 weeks pregnant.
Okay.
And utterly, absolutely miserable with absolutely everything imaginable swollen. It was just all 10 pounds, 3 ounces of her were by C-section, you know.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't be induced, and that's it. You've had two C-sections, and that's it. You can't. They won't risk you having it. If I've ever gone into labour naturally. After that, it would have been emergency sections because they wouldn't risk you rupturing your scar tissue. So
right.
My following two children were both planned.
So let me get this right, because I'm a man and I haven't got a clue, right? So if you have a C-section on your first baby, does that mean you automatically have to have C-sections after that?
No, there is such thing as, they call it a VBAC, which is a vaginal birth after a cesarean.
Okay.
And, you know, some people absolutely have great success with that, you know, but the thing is you have to go into labour naturally yourself.
See, what they're saying here is the researchers and the midwives and the obstetricians is they're afraid to allow women to maybe do that or to have vaginal births who might be overweight, might be fat, short or old. They're afraid to let them do that because if it goes wrong, they'll sue. Or if things don't work out as according to they should, they'll sue. So they're afraid of litigation. And that's why we seem to have more C-sections than, you know, than is the average, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. I still don't think it's helpful, and I don't think it's right to come out and stereotype people as old, short and fat. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that was the wording they used. The population of women giving birth in Ireland is fat, old and short.
Because the reality is, financially, the majority of people can't afford to start having a family until they're in their 40s, until they've spent years, you know, getting extortionate deposits for houses.
I think 34 is the average age now, yeah.
Yeah, and 35 is your fertility kind of, any doctor will tell you, a woman at 35, their fertility falls off a cliff after the age of 35.
Yeah.
You know, that's when they
get
the whole
other.
That's
your peak, that's it. Yeah, you're not going.
That's your peak, that's it. After that, you know, you can fully expect to have, you know, difficulties conceiving. And then, like, if you do have a baby in your 40s, you're considered, I walked with a girl and she was considered a geriatric pregnancy. It's
geriatric pregnancy, that's right.
Geriatric pregnancy.
Yeah. I'm 40.
Jesus,
I know.
I mean, like, it is a label to put on somebody.
We're great at putting labels on people, but I mean, a lot of people are quite outraged by these comments today saying that it's fat shaming. Do you think it is fat shaming?
It is fat shaming, and I was called fit, you know, somebody pointed out that how big I was when I was pregnant, and shortly after I'd given birth. You know, people have an awful lot to say for themselves.
And what would they say to you? Jeez, you put on a bit of weight there. You put on a bit of weight there, Lorna.
It was my sister's wedding.
You have a grand set of hips there, Lorna.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. it was my sister's wedding, and I brought in a photograph of the wedding, and I was 7 months pregnant, and like the bride was in the middle, and I only have two sisters, and we were by the side of her. And she went, oh, doesn't everyone look lovely? Yeah, of course, you're bigger than your sisters, but I suppose that's okay.
Oh my God, you're bigger than your sisters.
You're bigger than your sisters, but I suppose that's okay. And then the Christmas party after, so my son was about 2.5, 3 months old. It was the fourth time I'd left the house in 2.5, 3 months where I didn't have a child attached to me.
Yeah, you still had the old pregnancy skin was still there, yeah.
Absolutely, which is, again, after a C-section, doesn't go away very easy. The, you know, the notorious, what do they call it, a section pouch.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't go away. I mean, geez, my baby is 8 now, and like, my youngest is 8.
I've never heard that term before, by the way, a section pouch.
Oh, a section pouch, that's absolutely a thing.
That's around your bikini line, I assume, is it?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it is, yeah. And, you know, and I was at the Christmas party, and this fella, he thought he was hilarious. He knew me, he knew I just had a baby. I didn't know him so well that he could be poking fun at me, you know, I'm not easily offended, but he thought it was fairly appropriate to come up and ask me, oh, there you are, love, so when's the baby due?
Oh, jeepers.
You know, he thought he was very funny.
And he knew you had had the baby, yeah, obviously.
Of course he did, yeah. Of course he did, sure.
Okay, well, stay there for a second, here's an expert at having babies, Karen, you're an Ireland's Classic Hits Radio, how are you doing, Karen?
Hi, how are you?
You're like a baby machine, Karen.
No, I'm done.
Karen, I mean, these remarks by an obstetrician, a clinical obstetrician, I mean, that, you know, women, well, the population of women giving birth in Ireland is fat, old and short. I mean, is that fair comment?
Yeah, I think so. She's working in this industry. She sees it all the time. So she's commenting on what she sees. And at the end of the day, pointing out to somebody that they're overweight, either during pregnancy or if they're trying to have a baby, that's just pointing out a health risk, isn't it?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that's all they're doing. Yes, everyone puts on weight during pregnancy. But you should go into a pregnancy healthy, should you not?
Yeah, but the midwife also said that women, generally speaking, were unfit and that many first-time mothers were not young or healthy, fit or slim. Someone would say more or less the same thing again about you all. But I mean, Lorna has a point. You know what I mean? I mean, right, okay, maybe you go into the pregnancy reasonably healthy. Maybe you're reasonably healthy when you go into the pregnancy. But you can get, what's that thing? Is it not preeclampsia? What's the one?
Yeah, preeclampsia. My sister was sectioned for preeclampsia.
Is that when you start swelling up all over?
That's not
waste. This is talking about people who go into a pregnancy who are obese and who are carrying extra weight that there's no need
what's obese, Karen?
But at the end of the day, you're carrying a child. Surely to God, you want to be in the fit of your health.
I couldn't agree with you more, because for the baby's sake and for your sake, it's good to be in good health, right? But and you've a better, if you're trying to have a baby, you've a better opportunity of getting pregnant if you're in good health, right? You've less possibility of getting pregnant if you are overweight. But what is obese? Because we go on about this word obese. I'm probably obese and I'm a skinny little thing.
Well, then you need to get your numbers back.
I have a belly. See, I have a little... Gina, I have a little bit of a belly, right? So that would probably make me, as far as a doctor is concerned... Now, I'm not big, but they'd probably class me as obese.
Well,
makes me sound monstrous.
If you're trying to have a baby, your BMI...
No, I'm not trying to have a baby, in fairness.
But your BMI should be right.
Mm.
So your height and your weight, everything should just check off.
So every woman in Ireland should be perfect?
No, not perfect. Absolutely not. None of us are perfect. But, like, surely you should be going in fairly healthy.
There you go, Lorna. We should all be going into this healthy. That's the way it is, Lorna.
Well, I suppose if you're having a planned pregnancy, you know, in an ideal world, you know, but again, like, what couple are going to say, do you know what, now's a good time for us to have a baby? Well, hang on, is your BMI all right?
Yeah, get up on the weighing scales before we jump into bed there, will you?
Are you a stone over what you're supposed to be? Oh, well, I'll tell you what, I'll come back to you in 3 months, lose that stone, and then we'll try again.
Well, you know, I do that.
Ah, would you stop, Karen? Who does that?
do that. Okay.
People who like to make sure that they're in their top shape before they decide to carry a baby, because it's not an easy task.
Well, I don't know of anyone who's kind of gone to a doctor and said, look, can I have a full NCT there on myself to make sure that I'm healthy enough to carry? I don't know.
Unless you were having problems, yeah.
Of course, unless there's, you know, there's reasons, you know, where the couple are having problems conceiving. But prior to that, like, I mean, unless you are very obviously...
you're carrying extra weight, surely you want to try and lose that before you take on a pregnancy where you know you're going to carry extra weight anyway.
I can honestly tell you, I was never in that position myself, but I don't know of anyone who has said, you know, I'm a couple of pounds over. I do know of one or two girls who are told you're not conceiving because you're overweight. If you want to conceive, you are going to have to lose weight. But I mean, like, those individuals were extremely overweight. It was by no shock to anybody to hear that they were told to lose weight to conceive.
Yeah, if you're clinically obese or morbidly obese, as they call it, you're most likely not going to get pregnant in the first place. That's the body's defence mechanism to stop you getting pregnant, and it would be rare.
I just think this consultant is pointing out the obvious. As a nation, we are
generally... blunt, isn't it?
But we are generally short and fat. And
who, Irish people?
Women, yeah.
Irish women, sorry, Irish women.
Like, we look like spuds.
Lorna's not. Lorna's 5'10". Lorna could be a Garda. What are you, 5'1", Karen?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Were you in Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory? Were you in the movie? Were you an extra?
Yeah, I was one of them.
But okay, but I mean, as a nation, like, say, for example, Asian people, we're kind of, if you go to culturally through the world of different nationalities, you know, we are reasonably small.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We're not very tall people.
No.
You know what I mean? I mean, Russian people and Eastern Europeans tend to be taller than we are. I don't know who the tallest nation in the world is. I haven't a clue. Anyway, we're somewhere, you know, down the bottom when it comes to tallness for women,
yeah.
Certainly. I mean, the average woman in Ireland is what? Probably 5'4", 5'5", max, I would say. So
I think 5'7" is more around our average. But then again, I just be looking at my own family. I mean, you know, where the short arse in our family would be 5'7", and you know.
Okay, I've just been told in my ear, by the way. Yes, Denmark have the tallest women in the world.
Yeah, I would have guessed kind of Scandinavian,
tallest nation,
kind of
yeah.
That general.
On average, yeah. 71 inches. I don't know what that is in feet. And Norway is second. Oh, it's all Scandinavian, 71.8. Serbia, 71.6. There you go. Should you believe that now? And Germany are up there as well. Oh, yeah, but we know the German women are up there somewhere as well. But according to Karen, everybody, Irish women are short and fat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stay there for a second. Let me go to Maureen as well. Maureen, you're on Ireland's Classic Kids Radio. How you doing, Maureen? Maureen.
Hello, Maureen.
Hmm? Maureen, are you there? Stop whispering. I'll go back to her in a second. But I mean, I'm looking at some of the comments. How dare Karen suggest that Irish women are short and fat? We're not all. They're obviously referring to a group of women who are having difficulties with their pregnancy, Niall. No, they just said in general the population of women giving birth in Ireland is fat, old and short.
But we are, women in general are older having children as well now. And I think after the age of 35, it's classed as geriatric.
Mm. Okay, let me just try Marion. Is it Marion or Maureen? Marion, is it? Marion, are you there?
No, unfortunately, that phone line just does not seem to be working for us, Ruth. I do apologise.
Sorry, Marion, we're going to have to move you over onto another line. Unfortunately, it's not working. But, Karen, when you say it's fat shaming...
I don't think it's fat shaming. I think it's...
Lorna believes it's fat shaming.
Yeah, I do.
But when we say it's fat shaming, you know, Karen, what they're saying is that they're generalising. And they are generalising, just like you are right now. I mean, as Lorna rightly said, very few women, when they decide to have a baby, turn around and say, you know, oh, I think I'll hop onto the weighing scales now before I jump into bed and conceive. They just don't do that.
But I also think it sounds to me like that statement is on people who are planning a baby. I still think there's a massive rate of young pregnancies, unplanned pregnancies, and I think the proof of that is in the government, you know, where they brought out the free contraceptions for 16 to 25 year olds. They don't want any kind of that age group having babies. Here's a free pill to you, you know?
Mm.
And so I think that statement to me sounds like it's people kind of going for fertility treatment or planning pregnancies or having the forced baby.
Yeah, I can understand that. If a couple go to a doctor and say, listen, we can't get pregnant, we're trying our best. And then it's up to the doctor to go, well, look, I think maybe if you try losing a little bit of weight, you know, if the person is overweight, they're all suggestions, of course, if you're having difficulties. But not to make a general statement to say that, you know, Irish women or the population of Irish women in general is fat, old and short.
Then
you just sounded like Karen.
A lot more unplanned.
An awful lot of women coming in
with what?
Complications due to their weight and their age and their height. Like, surely she didn't just throw that out there. Surely she has, you know, I see this all the time, and this is the number one problem why people are not getting pregnant.
But it's the number one problem why people are having C-sections.
C-sections.
Yeah. I mean, did you, by the way, Karen, I know you had four children, isn't it?
Three.
Sorry, I keep adding another one to your list.
Yeah.
Did you have any C-sections?
I had three C-sections, yeah.
Look at you,
yeah.
Huh? Was that by choice?
No joke. They're really not.
The first one wasn't by choice. No.
What do they call it when it's by choice? Too posh to push,
elective.
Is it?
Elective.
Or too posh to push.
Well, whatever you want to have yourself.
Marion, are you there now?
Yeah, how are you?
Jeez, where were you, Marion? Were you hiding on me?
Sorry, it must have been the phone line.
All right, so Marion, you've no issues with the doctor's comments?
I kind of do. I don't know. I would question, because I know a few women that have had C-sections. I had one myself when I was 21. Young, fit, healthy. Now, the baby was breech in my case.
Yeah.
And I just took the medical expert advice that I needed to get a C-section. It was the only option given to me. And then subsequently we moved a few years later to the Netherlands, pregnant again. And whenever the midwife seen my scar, they would ask, why did you have the C-section? I said it was because the baby was breech. And their general response to me was, oh, I'm very sorry to hear that. Over here, we will try give natural delivery. I said, oh, really, that's interesting. And because they would have a team that are trained in that over there in the hospitals, and they can provide that service. As it turns out, my second baby was breech, and they would assess the situation then to see whether or not they would go ahead with it. But they do have the expertise there. And even of all the women I know who have had C-sections, they're young, they're not young, they're fit, they're healthy, or whatever the case may be, but they've had complications with, let's say, being induced or in labor for too long. And I would kind of question, we do know our hospitals are overrun and they're understaffed, and you kind of question, do we just kind of have the teams there to give women the time to actually go through with the labour a little bit more? Because
you think the C-section is the quick way out, like?
I think so, for the hospital, maybe at the beginning stages, because I know even when my sister went in, she was well in the late stages of labour, and, all the labour rooms are full. You kind of have to, it's amazing how we don't have, you know, more kind of atrocious situations happening, because I don't know.
And I have to point out, thankfully, Ireland, with the maternity hospitals we have, is still one of the safest places to have a baby, by the way. Can I just point out?
And absolutely. And it's a commend to the system. It's great in that regard. But I don't know. I just wonder why we don't have more options, because when I was 21, I didn't know that, you know, having a baby naturally when breech is actually an option, and I didn't go looking into it. I just accepted what I was told, which is unlike me now. It's just such a pity, because C-sections are really hard on the body, and I'd love to have, you know, had a chance.
The reason they're doing more of these C-sections than they should be is because of the fear of litigation. So it's the fear that if they, say in your section where the baby was breached and they go for a natural delivery and something goes wrong, that you then will sue them afterwards. So it's this fear of litigation. And the main reason they say this is because they believe that Irish women in general, the population of women, are fat, old and short. They use other terms like healthy, fit and slim in relation to other mothers. But in saying that, what they're suggesting is you're all very unhealthy having your babies.
It wasn't in my case or even in a few of the other women I know. So I can't speak to the general population. I don't see the data on from the hospitals to actually comment on what they're saying there. But it is, I don't know. It's, you know, even when I was talking to the woman for my last C-section, I actually came home. We moved home and I had it here. I don't know why. But, I even said to her, if we were to go again, would I have the option of a natural delivery after two C-sections? And they said, wherever there's an ounce of risk, they won't let you do that.
That's so. What I'm saying. So they're not. And by the way, I can understand them not wanting to take risks. You know, because, yeah, and that's fair enough, because you're dealing with somebody, a child's life and a mother's life as well. But in saying that, where there's an option for a natural delivery, and it's not just the easy way out to have a C-section. Yeah. You know, that's, I think that seems to be going on, and that seems to be a problem now. But they're blaming the women. They're saying it's not them. They're blaming the women, that Irish women, that the population of Irish women are fat, old and short. Marion, do you think that's kind of fat-shaming? Marion, are you still there?
I don't think it's... I don't know. To be honest with you, I'd nearly question... I don't know. As I said, I'd love to see the statistics or where they're getting it from, if these women are actually fat, to be honest with you, because, you know, even before I had my baby, there was two women I knew. We were due around the same time. They ended up having C-sections last minute, and they are not fat. They didn't have it because they were fat. It was actually both cases, the inducement, whatever it was, they had to do it in the end. But I don't know. I just kind of question, is it just kind of the way to move it along quicker at the end? I'm not sure. I wouldn't say it's fast. I don't know. Like, there's other countries in the world. I don't think Irish people in general or Irish women are one of the kind of fatter nations. And yet we do have extremely high rates of C-section. That's what
we do. Saying. We do have high rates of obesity in Ireland.
I would actually question. I would say, look at maybe your other countries or women are of a similar, you know, size or whatever.
I get you.
And look at the statistics there. Is it the same? And if not, why not? You know.
Okay, well, it's just that we seem to have more than average when it comes to C-sections. I suppose that's why they're just, this has come out in the news today. Thank you, ladies. The number is 087-188-0008, 087-188-0008. Is that fat shaming to suggest that a consultant obstetrician has said that the population of women giving birth in Ireland is fat, old and short? Let me know if you believe it's fat shaming. 087-188-0008. All right, let me go to Amy. Amy, you're in Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you, Amy?
Hi, Niall. I'm good, thank you.
Okay, this comment, on a serious note, I suppose, for women out there who are trying to get pregnant, who are pregnant, who go through a C-section, that we suggest that the population of women in Ireland is fat, old and short, and that's the reason why we have higher than numbers, average numbers of C-sections. Is it acceptable?
No, I don't think it is at all. And I'm talking from a perspective of, I'm 5'2", I have a high BMI, and I'm 35, and I've just had my first baby.
Okay.
But this is from 5 years of trying, two IVFs and a miscarriage.
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that, Amy. I'm sorry to hear you went through all that, because I know that can be extremely traumatic for any woman trying to have a baby.
But look, I have a beautiful baby girl now, and, you know, but I think it's unfair. I tried to go into it as fit and as healthy as I could. I actually had a natural birth.
Yeah.
And I think it's just not right. Women especially are still going through difficulties. And they might be on medication. Mm-hmm. But those difficulties can cause weight gain.
Yeah.
You know, medication can cause weight gain. So to say, you know, obesity...
And I suppose if you're going through mental health difficulties in relation to trying to have a birth, I know maybe it's counterproductive, but, you know, you can comfort eat sometimes too. And people just can put on a bit of weight too. So, you know, because you're trying to, I suppose, counteract the effects of whatever mental health problem you might have at the time.
Yes, yeah, I just think it's very, very unfair. And as I said, it's from my perspective. I'm small, short, and a bit overweight. But
I mean, look, I have no problem with the fact that if you go to your doctor and you're trying to conceive and you're having difficulty, and the doctor says to you, listen, you know, you're a bit overweight. If you lose a bit of weight, you might have a better possibility of conceiving, because that's just common sense. I have no problem with a doctor saying that to a woman, you know, on a one-to-one basis with her partner, whatever it is, you know, and advice, et cetera, et cetera. Or, you know.
It can be hard, though, Niall.
Oh, no, I understand that.
You have, I myself had a hormonal imbalance.
Yeah.
And that caused it extra hard to lose the weight.
Yeah.
And then if you add medication onto it, say IVF medication, that can cause you to bloat and
weight.
Put on weight.
Yeah, of course.
But it's, yeah, I just don't think it's very unfair. And it's not fair on other women that are going through the circumstances that I have gone through, or are pregnant now after going through treatment and have that extra bit of weight. I really don't think it's fair.
It's quite a very general statement, isn't it, to say the population of women giving birth in Ireland is fat, old and short.
Yeah.
I mean, look, by the very nature of the fact we're Irish, women tend to be shorter. So that's a bit out the door. But fat and old, even. I mean, I just don't understand why it's even necessary to say something like that.
Say that. It's very degrading as a woman.
It's okay, I think, for obstetricians, when asked questions as to why they do so many C-sections, to point out that there can be complications within pregnancy, and sometimes if somebody's BMI is high, that, you know, it can be a complication in pregnancy, and to word it in such a way.
That's understandable.
Yeah, but to make a general statement, you know, to say that they're women, the population are fat, old and short, is a little bit much. I think, is it fat shaming? It is, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It totally is.
Mm-hmm.
And even at that, even pregnant women will have that. Some pregnant women may look at themselves when they are pregnant and feel by looking at themselves, you know, that they're not happy looking at themselves. And I think that's not fair, you know, to state. I just don't think it's not a nice statement and fair.
And pregnancy is a state that women are in. It's just a temporary state. I mean, I know you say, you know, that the women may look in the mirror and think they're fat when they're not. They're actually just pregnant.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, they're carrying life.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But comments like that don't help people that are vulnerable.
And how are you now, Amy?
Yeah, good.
Good. And how old is the baby now?
She is just gone 3 months.
What's her name?
Mia.
Okay, I'm delighted for you. And I'm happy for you, and I'm happy for your partner and everybody else in your family, and I'm happy for little Mia as well. And
she
has a wonderful mother by the sounds of things. Listen, thank you very much indeed, Amy. I appreciate you coming on the air.
Thank you, Niall.
All right,
take
see
care.
You. Bye. Bye. There you go. Amy thinks it's fat shaming, and she's sympathetic to women who may have mental health problems or going through mental health problems, trying to get pregnant, maybe go through IVF or whatever it is. And, you know, and for those reasons, sometimes, yeah, you can put on a bit of weight. And this idea that you would make a blanket statement or a general statement to say that, you know, the population of women giving birth in Ireland is fat, old and short, is just nonsensical. It's just, it's not a nice thing to say. I'm not one that gets offended, by the way, because I'm not the one who's ever going to have the baby. But I think on behalf of women of Ireland, I think, you know, it could have been worded a little bit better. You know, as I said already, I have no issue with saying to women, if you want to get pregnant and you want to make it easier to get pregnant, yes, you have to be in better health. Yes, if you are overweight, it would be advisable to try to lose a bit of weight. It might make it easier to get pregnant. But to suggest, you know, that the reason we have more C-sections is because Irish women in general are fat, old and short. Ah, it's a bit silly, isn't it? Good afternoon, Claire. You're on Ireland's Classic Kids Radio. How are you?
Hi, Niall. I'm good. How are you?
Good. And the happy mother of a four-month-old baby?
Yeah, he's 4 months old now. Just gone last week.
Congratulations. And how did it go for you? I mean, you've heard the comments from his senior or these clinical obstetricians.
Yeah, so when I heard the comments, I had to ring in because I'm a long time listener, first time caller, Niall.
Thanks very much. I appreciate you coming in. I appreciate you ringing in. That's nice.
But basically, I'll be very quick and short about it. But I was 29 when I got pregnant. I'll be 30 now soon. And I was 9 stone, so I was a normal weight, healthy lady, didn't smoke, didn't drink ever, working full time, all the rest. Had a very normal pregnancy. Then up to about 37, 38 weeks, I developed a condition called cholestasis of the liver. So it was a liver condition that basically gave me jaundice and itchy hands and feet and all the rest. And I didn't know a lot about it. Went to the GP, got the blood done. They said everything was fine. When I went to the maternity hospital for my 39-week checkup, they said, oh my God, your liver is off the charts. We're going to induce you tomorrow. So they induced me on the Wednesday. I was hours and hours waiting, first of all, for the induction gel that they do. Then it was actually 3 days before they decided to break my waters and bring me to the delivery room.
Okay.
So I didn't get the opportunity to, you know what I mean, to kind of progress for myself or whatever. So I was 10 hours then in the delivery room, and the baby's heart rate kept going down. I started to get very ill and kind of passing out and stuff like that. So it was the Wednesday they brought me in, and by the Friday night at 10 p.m. they said, we're going to do the C-section. But there was no encouragement kind of to do it naturally myself. It was more or less just like, no, we're going to do it now straight away. And it was horrendous because I had no epidural at that stage. They had to, it was like a spinal block for the C-section.
Okay.
And then because it was so late at night or whatever, well, apparently this is a thing, like my partner could only stay for like half an hour after my son was born. And I couldn't even walk because I was basically paralysed from the neck down.
And pardon my ignorance now on childbirth, but when they induce induce labour, at that stage, that late stage of pregnancy, surely then you should be able to have a natural delivery, or you should be able to be forced to have a natural delivery.
That's what I thought. And like that, they gave me the gel, and that was on the Wednesday morning. I went in at 8 a.m. They didn't give me the gel till nearly lunchtime, so it was a good few hours waiting for that. And then when I got the gel, it's like a pessary they insert, and you're meant to start having contractions and all these kind of things.
And did you start having contractions?
No, I did nothing. So I just felt maybe my body wasn't ready or whatever, but they were trying to say, oh, well, you're at risk of preeclampsia because of the liver condition, which I didn't know any of this, obviously.
Yeah. Well, and of course, you take their word for it because they're the experts in inverted commas.
And I was trusting them. And then I was walking around the hospital grounds. I was up and down on the ball. I was doing exercise. I was trying to do everything I could.
Get yourself into labour, yeah.
Literally, I would have jumped out the window at that stage. I was just trying to do anything. But like that,
they say a curry, by the way. Somebody told me this before, that a good curry, an Indian curry, is supposed to put you into labour. I don't know how true that is.
It's nothing for me. I actually would believe I got a curry in the hospital canteen to eat, and all it did was give me really bad heartburn.
Right.
So then I was walking around the ground, nothing happened. So then the Thursday afternoon, I was in so much pain, and I was basically crying in agony. They gave me nothing except paracetamol drip or something for the pain. And after that, they'll give you something called, I think it's called pethidine. It's like an injection into the leg or into the bum. And that helped a little bit, and I was able to get some sleep because I was just so exhausted at this stage. Then they did a second pessary gel. A few contractions started. It was more just like really bad period pain. You don't know what that's like.
No, I don't.
Like bad cramp.
And I'm glad I don't know.
And then eventually they said, look, on the Friday morning, I said, look, nothing's happened here. I've been here for 2 days, no baby. I was starting to get really worried at this stage. I wasn't feeling reduced movements. He was still kicking and all that. And, you know, they were monitoring. Yeah. His heart was fine. I was okay, but I felt unwell because of the liver condition. I was so yellow at this stage. I was really yellow. So then eventually, like that, brought me down to the labour room. I was 10 hours in labour. They broke the waters. All that seemed normal. And I was getting contractions and all. And then, obviously, nothing was happening. So they had no choice but to do the section. So they made out to me. But there was never a stage where they said, OK, you can push or anything like that. And I did get to around 7 or 8 centimetres dilation. So I could have tried.
So did you question it afterwards? And I'm sorry to rush you now because I've only got a minute. But did you question it afterwards? Did you write to them afterwards and question it?
I asked them afterwards at follow-up checkups because my son actually had marks on his head from the way that he was taken out after the C-section.
Right.
And I had to bring a basket check for that. He had a bit of a wound. And I said, look, why did that happen, blah, blah, blah. And they just said, well, you know, we were worried about the baby because the heart rate, and we felt that was the best decision for you. But I got no follow-up care and I was in horrendous pain. And basically, I was just left to look after a baby with this big scar.
Well,
and
that's not a good experience at all, is it,
no.
Really?
And it's very difficult to lose this. It's actually called an apron, is what they call the belly after a C-section, because your tummy hangs over.
Somebody called it a pouch earlier on. Yeah,
a pouch or an apron, and it's horrendous. And like that, like I have to buy bigger clothes that don't even fit me properly, you know. Because
you're always going to have that little scar there as well, of course. Which
you're going to.
And I suppose if you are getting pregnant again, it means that most likely you're going to have another C-section.
Yeah. Oh no, I'll never go again. I'm one and done now.
Is that a phrase? I've never heard that phrase before. One and done.
One and done. After this experience, never again. And look, so
that experience, has that put you off having another child?
Oh, 100%. And I wouldn't mind. I'll do the night shift. I breastfed him. I've done everything that's been difficult. But the most difficult thing for me was the surgery in the hospital, the recovery. And like that, nobody asked.
The unknown. Yes, it's that whole waiting around and having a million things done to you and not actually knowing what's going on, really.
And somebody, and like, they took the baby from me, you know, like, he barely got to lie on my chest.
Oh,
got no,
I know, that's so
skin.
Difficult. Yeah.
It was really horrible because I felt like I was this strange, like, I woke up and he was dressed and everything in the cot beside me.
Oh, no.
I don't even remember any of that happening.
And that moment is really important, isn't it? It is very important, that
it
moment
for
bonding.
Yeah, thank God now he took to breastfeeding, so we're very close and he's the best boy in the world, but you know yourself.
Okay. What's his name, very quickly, before I go here? What's
Noah.
Noah. Well, listen, you and Noah have a wonderful life together, and your partner as well, obviously.
Thanks,
and have a wonderful life together, and I'm delighted for you. But I'm delighted you got through it in the end, but certainly a very bad experience. And maybe
absolutely.
even a letter to the hospital, maybe talk to your local GP again about it. You know, obviously 4 months later.
I will, when I can put something together properly.
That's right.
But I just
and just
think
questions.
Very quickly, it's just so unfair, I think, to say it's to do with weight and that, because there's so many other issues there.
Absolutely.
There's so many factors at play.
Okay, listen, thank you very much for sharing your experience, Claire.
Thanks,
I really appreciate you on the air.
Thanks,
bye. There you go, Claire. Obviously had a very bad experience. One and done. I've never heard that phrase before, but I can understand if she had a bad experience, why.
Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show.